Welcome to this episode of the We Travel There podcast. We're in Valle de Guadalupe, Mexico, with my new friend Stephanie Anton of AlmostFreeFamilyTravel.com. Stephanie lives in San Diego, and she loves visiting Baja California for the sunny weather, delicious wines, and relaxing atmosphere. In this episode, Stephanie and I talk about attending the annual Grape Harvest Fiestas, riding on the Ruta del Vino bike ride, and exploring La Bufadora. You hear about these three amazing experiences and so much more. If you know someone interested in visiting Mexico, I'd love it if you shared this episode with them. The show notes and our one-page guide of Stephanie's tips are available at wetravelthere.com/Guadalupe. Now let's get started. The We Travel There podcast helps you travel like a local by interviewing guests from around the world to uncover the hidden gems of their city by finding out the best things to do, eat, drink, and see from a local's point of view. Whether I'm traveling for business or pleasure, it's important to have clothes that make me look good and feel great. I wear Bluffworks jeans, slacks, dress shirts, and blazers because they're wrinkle-free and are designed for the modern traveler. And if they get dirty, a quick spin in the washing machine and they're good as new. Go to wetravelthere.com/Bluffworks for a special offer and to select from the latest styles so you can stay wrinkle-free when you travel. Right, hey, Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Right on. So you reached out and were talking to me about this place that I honestly never heard about. It's called Valle de Guadalupe in Mexico. And when I started doing a little bit of research, I actually found that there was multiple areas in Mexico that kind of like the same name. But this one is in Baja California near Ensenada. Like, what's your connection to this area? And like, how did you find out about it?
Yeah, so I actually live in San Diego, and so people have been talking about Valle de Guadalupe for a couple of years, but it's really grown in popularity recently, and a lot of people will head over there for the weekend or for day trips, and so I thought, oh, I need to check this out and see what's going on.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things, I think, you know, I used to live in Southern California and, you know, we go down to TJ a lot and I've been on a cruise down to Ensenada and everything, but I know a lot of people are kind of concerned about going to Mexico. They're like, oh, it's very scary and, you know, everything like that. But every time I've been to Mexico, I've always met some of the nicest and warmest people. And, you know, knock on wood, I've never had any sort of issues whenever I go there. And I think a lot of it's just whatever's happening in the news, people amplify it for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I certainly have found really, really nice people in Valle de Guadalupe. And even crossing the border, there have been very nice people. And yeah, it's been a very pleasant experience.
Right on. And so for you, like you said, living in San Diego, I think it's about 120 miles or something like that south of the border to get to Valle de Guadalupe. For you, obviously, it's a drive. But anybody else, say for me living in Nashville now, would I fly into San Diego and drive down, or is there another way for me to get there?
Yeah, so there are a couple ways you can do it. One is you can certainly come and fly into San Diego, and Valle de Guadalupe is about 90 minutes from San Diego, and there are a couple different ways you can get there. Obviously, you can get a car or drive your own car or rent a car, and you can go ahead and drive across. You do have to get some special insurance to be able to take your car into Mexico, but some of the rental companies will do that. You can also take the trolley down to the border, walk across the border, and then in Tijuana, you can either get a tour, you can rent a car, you can even get the take the ABC bus down to Ensenada, and then take a Uber from there into the Valle. So there are a lot of different ways to get there. I would say if you do plan to drive across the border, you might want to look into a Sentry Pass because that'll make the border crossing easier. Or also look into the timing that you go back and forth across the border, because getting from the U.S. to Mexico is usually pretty quick, but getting from Mexico back into the U.S. can take a long time. So you want to make sure that you're timing it for maybe those less trafficky times of the day, you know, where it's not quite as much rush hour.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, and for people that aren't familiar, like Sentry is basically kind of like global entry for your vehicle. Right?
Exactly. Yes. You can also fly into Ensenada. So that's another option. We'll talk more about accommodations, but Ensenada is, it's about 20 minutes from the Valle.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. And so I was going to say that if you fly into Ensenada and then want to do it that way, and because again, maybe you're not familiar with driving or not really comfortable with that, but if you're going to fly into Ensenada and then go to the Valle, I mean, is it easier to rent a car, or is it better just to sign up for a tour or like an Uber? Because especially if you're going to be drinking at some of the wineries that we'll talk about.
Exactly. I think at that point, if you're in Ensenada, you could just take an Uber and it's very inexpensive and they'll take you over to the Valle. You could also, you know, hire a driver who can just drive you to multiple wineries. There's some available for 10 or 12 hours and they can drive you around all day. And that way you have somebody shuttling you around. But either way would be fine.
And you know, if you want to hire a driver, because I think that probably sounds ideal, because you don't want to be trying to find a Uber and like your cell signal's like, you know, not really there, or like your battery's dying on your phone because you've been taking selfies all day.
Exactly.
With wine glasses.
Right.
And everything else. If you want to hire a driver, are there services there, or like, how do you find somebody that way?
Yeah, there are lots of services available. In Ensenada, there are also Marriott's and brand hotels, chain hotels that have concierge services that can help you locate drivers.
Okay, let's talk about the hotels then a little bit, because I was doing a little research. We partner with a site called Aways, and they do a lot of searches for us and help us find out like the best ways to use our miles and points when we're booking travel. And I noticed that in the Valle, there aren't any like kind of name brand hotels. There's a lot of great hotels there. They look absolutely wonderful based on like Expedia searches I did, but actually award redemptions as far as using my hotel points, there weren't any in the Valle. There's an IHG and a couple of Marriott's in Ensenada. So would you recommend staying kind of in the Valle area or just staying in Ensenada? Which would you recommend?
Well, so points and miles are my thing. So there are a couple different ways you could do this. One is you could just stay in Ensenada at a Marriott or that IHG and use your points that way. And then just hire a driver to take you into the Valle, and you could do that for multiple days or whatever. But it is kind of nice to stay in the Valle as well. There's a lot of different types of hotels there. There's some boutique ones. There's a lot of glamping type experiences, which seemed intriguing to me, where you're sort of in like a kind of a yurt type experience. And you have a campfire and things. So that sounded really interesting. And then jacuzzi. So that sounded kind of fun. And, you know, you can always use Capital One points and go ahead and erase those types of experiences if you're going to book independent hotel.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got the Capital One miles that you can use, Chase and American Express. They have opportunities to be able to book through their travel portals, you know, be able to use your points that way as well. So there are a lot of options, even if you don't have that traditional like Hilton or Marriott or IHG. But I think one of the notes that you put in there that actually Hyatt is actually building a property that's in the Valle.
Yes, that was super exciting. As I was doing some of the research, I saw that there's going to be a Dreams Hotel in the Valle, and that will be a Hyatt. So I couldn't find out exactly when that's going to open, but it looks spectacular. So keep an eye on that one, and you'll be able to use Hyatt points there. So that's great. And yes, I'm a huge fan of portals when you're booking independent hotels. And I did a quick search, and there were a lot of the independent hotels listed on that Chase portal and the Capital One portal. So that's another option.
Fantastic. Now, obviously, you know, when we're in the area, we're having a great time and everything like that. And from what I saw, that there's so many wineries. I think 200 wineries or something.
Yeah, 200 wineries, which is just incredible. You know, that it's grown so large. And it's really just been in the last maybe 10 years, 20 years that, you know, it's just started where they've been harvesting the grapes there and starting to manufacture the wine. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like one of those things that's a little overwhelming when there's that many choices, right? Like you're like, okay, I'm here for 3 days. There's no way that my liver can handle visiting 200 wineries.
Right.
You know? And so when people are going to the Valle de Guadalupe, like what are some of like your favorite wineries that people should check out?
So one of my favorites is Via Montefiore. And I like that one because they actually imported Italian grapes over, grapevines. And so it's the only winery in the Valle that uses Italian grapes to make the wine. So that kind of makes it a little different. And it also has a really nice patio area. So you're looking out over the Valle, and you'll see some of the pictures that I have accompanying are from that winery. So that's a really nice one. And then the other one that I haven't visited yet, but you'll hear a lot of people talk about, is Vina Cava. And people like Vina Cava because it's just an interesting setup. It's very sustainable and eco-friendly, and they've built everything out of boats and shipping containers. And so it's just a really interesting winery. So those are the two that I highly recommend.
Yeah, that's fantastic. When we lived in California, there was a kind of little bit of the wine region in Southern California, not like Napa, you know, not as expensive and everything like that and everything. But one of the things we used to do, you know, we had young kids. We would go and grab a bottle or do a tasting, and we'd hang out outside with the kids and everything like that. But are some of these wineries like family friendly, or is it primarily just like an adults weekend type of scenario?
Yeah, no, they are family friendly. There was one winery that it's called DeCantos Winery, and they have a big field, just a big grassy area with picnic tables and lots of kids running around and kicking balls and frisbees and things like that. So there are wineries there that cater to entire families.
Okay. Okay. Now, obviously, you know, tasting wine and enjoying some of the varietals and everything, that's fantastic. But when you're going on vacation, you know, certainly my liver can't handle just drinking for an entire weekend. What are some of the other things we should look at doing while we're there visiting the Valle de Guadalupe?
Oh, great question. Yeah. So there's hiking. There's some great hikes around. There's lots of wonderful properties, pools. The weather there is warm all year round. So it's really just very pleasant. So you can swim kind of like a Palm Springs, you know, and hiking and eating, of course. There's lots of great restaurants. The Valle has some of the best chefs and a lot of farm-to-table restaurants. So it has quite a culinary experience as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I was doing a little research and I saw that there's a vine and wine museum, which is kind of cool. Helps you kind of understand like the history of the area and like how the wineries got started and everything. So that's kind of cool to learn about that. And I think it's also just one of those things where a lot of wine areas have certain types of activities. There's, you know, horseback riding that I saw that's affiliated with a couple of different wineries, hot air balloon rides. And then if you are staying in Ensenada or if you just want to take a day trip or a little detour, something that I saw when I was on a cruise, this place called La Bufadora. It's actually a blowhole where it's up there against like the ocean as it's coming through there. And as the waves crash in, the water shoots up kind of like Old Faithful, you know, and it's kind of a cool thing to see. And so there are a lot of different other things to do beyond just drinking wine, even though this is like a major wine area, kind of like Napa. But there are a lot of other activities you can consider and you can do that kind of fill out your time beyond just sitting there and having a glass of wine.
Exactly. And you're also, I mean, Ensenada is on the coast, so you have all those beach activities as well right there.
Oh, for sure. So when we're thinking about planning our trip, like you mentioned, the weather's pretty warm year round. You know, obviously we're closer to the equator than the United States, everything. But what time of year do you recommend visiting Valle de Guadalupe?
Yeah, so spring and fall are probably the most ideal, where the weather is, you know, very just pleasant, not too hot, not a whole lot of chance for rain, things like that. So yeah, I would definitely recommend spring and fall, but there's really no bad time to go there.
Sure, sure. And then are there like certain festivals or annual events that happen in Valle de Guadalupe that maybe someone wants to plan a trip around attending that?
Yeah, so the annual Grape Harvest Festival is in August. And that is probably the biggest festival that the area has. And so if you're into grape harvesting and you just want to see the big party, that would be the time to come out.
Nice. Yeah, I'm also into cycling. And I saw they actually have a Ruta del Vino bike ride. It's a 36-mile loop that goes through like 25 different wineries and everything like that. I don't know if you want to stop at every winery because you probably would crash if you're trying to ride your bike after sampling everything. That's one of the things I love about wineries is just like the views are just gorgeous. But, you know, all the rows upon rows of grapes and just the rolling hills and everything like that. Any type of scenery that's like set up perfectly for grape growing is pretty much just like one of the best sceneries that, you know, that I can imagine. Yeah. And like, unlike other bike rides, this is, there is like a pro section of it, but there's also like, just like amateur sections as well. So if you like to ride, you know, don't worry that you're not gonna be running against like Greg LeMond's or any of those guys. I mean, you're going to be running against average everyday people as well.
Yeah, good to know.
So right on. Like you mentioned earlier, you know, whether we're going hiking or just running around, checking all of these different wineries, obviously we're going to be building up an appetite. And so what are some of your favorite restaurants that we should check out while we're there?
Oh, yeah. So my favorite restaurant is Finca Altozano. It's a farm to table and they make their own breads there. They have their own farm that they're actually on the property. And so it's just absolutely incredible and just delicious. So I highly recommend that restaurant.
Nice, nice. Any other suggestions as far as restaurants going, whether it be something for breakfast or lunch or dinner?
So some other restaurants that I highly recommend are Doña Estela's, which is a good breakfast spot, and then Conchas de Piedra, which has some of the best wine and shellfish. That's a really good one. Fauna at Bruma is also one of my faves.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that the different flavors and you know, spices and all the different things that they do in Mexico. I just, you know, especially moving here to Nashville, we don't have the same level of Mexican food that we used to have in Southern California. So whenever I go to Mexico, I'm always looking for those unique flavors and tastes that you can't get anyplace else. And also just being able to support those local restaurants. Like you said, there's a lot of also high-end chefs. So you're going to have a variety of menus based on prices, whether it's something you want to be cheap and just easy, or you want something that's a little higher end where maybe it's like a nice dinner for an anniversary or something like that. You're going to find a variety of different places there.
Exactly. And what I thought was so interesting in the Valle is that, you know, it's not what you're going to think of maybe as your typical Mexican food or what we find here in the States as Mexican food. It's very farm to table and just really interesting flavors and combinations and very fresh type food.
Sure, sure. Yeah, like don't roll up expecting like Taco Bell or Del Taco.
I mean, exactly.
That is like not real Mexican food.
Yeah, that is not what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get the mocajete and everything like that. I mean, there's so many different wonderful flavors and you know, just things you don't really even see even on the menu here in the U.S. at a Mexican restaurant.
Exactly.
But right on. Well, Stephanie, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing all these amazing things about the Valle de Guadalupe. I learned so much, and it seems like such a wonderful place to visit. But now it's time for the final countdown. If somebody only had time for one meal when they visited Valle de Guadalupe, where should they go and what should they eat?
Well, you know what I'm going to say. I mean, Finca Altozano is my favorite, so I would recommend that.
Right on. And when we go there, what should we order?
So my favorite dish there is the appetizer of the Brussels sprouts, and you can ask for it without bacon if you're vegetarian like me, and it doesn't ruin the flavor at all. But I don't know what they do to them, but oh my gosh, they are just incredible.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's one of the things I love about if I go to a restaurant with somebody who's a vegetarian, I get to have all their bacon.
Yeah.
Like, just take whatever bacon you're going to put on hers, put it on mine, and we'll both be happy.
There you go. Yep.
Right on. So, okay. So like you said, it sounds like just such a magical place to go visit there. What's one of your most memorable experiences while visiting?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think you kind of touched on it before, was just sitting there and just having this wide open space with all the rows of the grapevines and just the calmness and the peacefulness that you feel there, and just sipping a glass of wine and spending that with friends and loved ones and meeting new people at the same time. It's just very calming. And so I just really enjoy that atmosphere there.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess there's like two different type of travelers, right? There's one type that's like Chevy Chase from National Lampoon's Vacation, where you're trying to fit 500 things into one day. And then there's also the type of travel that you're talking about, where it's, you know what, my life when I'm back home between work and kids and everything else is hustle, hustle, hustle. It's nice to just be able to sit back and relax and not have anything to do and just sit there with a nice glass of wine, somebody that you love or, you know, or a friend, and just be able to hang out for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Time just slows down there and you just can relax, you know, and enjoy.
That sounds amazing. Now, speaking of good times and happy memories, where's the happiest happy hour in Vita Guadalupe?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, it is about wine and wineries. So, you know, I think every winery is a happy hour. I don't know if there's probably some of the hotels maybe offer some events and things like that. And some wineries probably do some special events. My favorite was at the DeCantos Winery, because they actually have tables out behind the winery on this big open field, and they bring out charcuterie boards with cheese and crackers and kind of a sampling. And so you can sit around the table and you can have the bread and the cheese and your wine, and it's just a lovely atmosphere.
No, absolutely. Having something like the charcuterie board, you know, it's like the flavors of the wine bring out the flavors of the meat and cheese, and kind of like the reverse as well, right? Like when you're pairing the meat and cheeses with the different wines, like it brings it to a whole nother level as far as what's happening on your tongue.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, one of the things I always do whenever I travel is like check out the local pizza. So where's the best place for pepperoni pizza in Vita Guadalupe?
Sure. So that's so funny. So my favorite is a restaurant called Familia Samarin. And it's in the Valle, and they have pepperoni pizza, so you'll be happy. They also have vegetarian pizza as well, and lots of yummy salads and things like that. So that's a good place to go if you're hankering for a pizza.
Fantastic. Sounds like there's a little something for everybody there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about here in a minute with your website and your history of how you got into the miles and points and everything. But what's one of your best travel tips?
My best travel tip is to pack light. My family, we only travel with carry-ons anywhere we go. So even if we go away for a month or 2 months or whatever, we just take one carry-on each. And then we just plan to do laundry. And that's my biggest tip, because then you're not bogged down with big suitcases. It just makes traveling easier.
Absolutely. Especially if you're traveling to certain places, like, you know, I know when traveling to Europe, a lot of times there's no escalators or elevators coming out of the subway. And if you got a big old suitcase, and you're going to wish you hadn't packed so much when you have to go up and down those stairs.
Right. That is so true. So true.
Right on. Well, again, Stephanie, you know, thanks for coming on the show and sharing all these amazing tips for Vita Guadalupe. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
So I am the founder of Almost Free Family Travel. And I founded it back in 2015. When my kids were getting a little bit older, and all of a sudden we were like, you know, we want to travel, but it's so expensive. And we ended up finding miles and points and going to Thailand and Japan. And we went for a month, and I think we might have made money on the trip. We did that well. And then I was like, oh my gosh, why isn't everyone doing this? I should help other people do it. So I've been helping families travel with miles and points and take those amazing vacations for almost free since then. And I just launched a travel coaching program. So now I have developed a video series, a course, and a customized tracker. And then I meet with everyone one-on-one. And then we do live group coaching sessions once a month to help everyone kind of walk through and support them in the process of learning how to use points and miles.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things I've been using miles and points to travel for free for many, many years. And I think it's one of those things that a lot of people, either one, they just get a little intimidated by it, or they feel that the time and effort is not worth it. And I always tell people, I said, okay, look, like anything, you got to put in a little time and effort to be able to get the most value. But if you weren't going to use the miles and points and you wanted to pay cash, how many hours would you have to work at your job to earn that trip? To pay for that trip, right? And when you start putting the math down that way, like, okay, yeah, maybe it's worthwhile to spend like an hour or two on this versus 40 hours at my job, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
We're definitely going to include links to your course and your website in the show notes. But if somebody has questions about your course or about Vita Guadalupe or any of the destinations that you cover, what's the best way to reach you on social media?
Yeah. So I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Almost Free Family Travel. And so you can just reach out right there.
Fantastic. Well, Stephanie, it's been great talking to you and wonderful learning about Vita Guadalupe. And we look forward to seeing you when we travel there.
Great. Thank you so much.
I've never been to this area of Mexico before, but it sounds incredible. And it's so close to the popular cruise destination of Ensenada that it's so easy to get to. With Stephanie's tips, I can't wait to visit and enjoy all the wine. You can find all the links we talked about today and our one-page guide to Stephanie's tips at wetravelthere.com/Guadalupe. We want to say thank you to Bluffworks for being today's affiliate partner. Bluffworks offers many styles to fit your needs, so that way you could stay wrinkle-free while traveling. Go to wetravelthere.com/Bluffworks and use the promo code LEAD to save 10% off your order. Join us next time as we head to Palm Springs, California to speak with my good friend Adrian Berg of AgelessTraveler.com. In this episode, Adrian and I talk about touring homes during Modernism Week, taking the aerial tramway through 11 climate zones, and seeing the black rhinos at the Living Desert. We hope you join us when we travel there. I love hearing your feedback about the show. Send me a tweet at WeTravelThere to share your thoughts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and tell them what you like most. Make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast app. That way you won't miss any of our upcoming destinations.